We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to Inside Mizzou Athletics, presented by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Tiger Style Report here on the Inside Mizzou Athletics Podcast Network, which is brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Shelter Insurance for your auto, home, and life. Visit your local agent or find us on the web at shelterinsurance.com. We're your shield. We're your shelter. I'm your host, Matt Manley, and it's great to have co-host Bo Bayman back in studio.
Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while. And we've got extra special guest Keegan O'Toole in the studio today. Keegan, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just got out of class, ran over here, and I'm ready to go.
Golden world champion Keegan O'Toole. Did you wear that shirt on purpose today?
I actually didn't. Just wow. Coincidence.
You know, it's actually another coincidence. I was dropping my son off at preschool this morning, and I saw a woman walking around with the Jaden Cox t-shirt.
Hey, nice.
A couple years ago. So we got to get some of those printed off.
Yeah, these are sweet shirts.
Yeah, maybe we'll get some world champion t-shirts for the public out there so the public can rep Keegan O'Toole and Rocky Elam.
There should be an order for t-shirts coming out soon. I got some of my buddies back home working on it. So
nice.
Really? Yeah. Okay. All right.
When that's out, I'll let you guys know.
All right. So let's start off. Let's, we had the training camp here for the Junior World Championships. You know, USA Wrestling reached out to us, being as we had three guys on the team out of the total 10 wrestlers on the team, and asked us if we wanted to host that training camp, and Coach Smith jumped all over it. So you guys got some pretty good training in here at home. Was it nice to have the whole team kind of bonding for the first time here? Or?
Oh, yeah, it was awesome being able to have it here. I didn't have to travel at all. I got to sleep in my own bed. I hosted a couple Air Force guys and, made good friends with them. And the fact that I was able to be with our Team USA in Columbia, show them around a little bit, and show them the way of Tiger Style, which was awesome.
I was going to say, they probably learn a lot when they come here, don't they? Just because they have their own stuff that they do, but they come here and they learn a few things like, oh, yeah, we should do that back wherever they're from.
Yeah, I definitely think it was great for them to come here just because I think Tiger Style and the University of Missouri is so unique just in the way they train, the way we think about life in general. It's not all about wrestling. It's more about being a good person, doing the right things off the mat. So I think it was really good for those guys to come and also just to meet new people, which is always awesome.
It's so funny because, a lot of people, you say, hey, what'd you do over the summer? I hung on the couch, went to the pool a few times. Not many people say, oh, I was a world champion, went to Russia, by the way. I mean, just before we talk about your matches, what was the experience like in Russia?
It was awesome. It was obviously different. It was hard to communicate with people, and not no one really spoke English there, just because it wasn't like a place in Russia where people would go to, like, tourists. So
yeah,
people didn't know English that well. There were maybe a couple people that if they worked in a diner, they knew a couple words. But for the most part, it was like I'm either on my phone using Translate or I'm just, you know, pointing to this and
pointing at pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at one point when we got in to Russia, like, we had some ridiculous time at like 4 a.m. and we were starving, and they had room service 24 hours. So me and my roommate, which was actually the Air Force heavyweight Wyatt Hendrickson, he ordered some chicken and vegetables for us at 4 a.m. because we were still on U.S. time. And the guy comes in, did not speak a lick of English, and then I knew how to say a couple words in Russian, like, thank you, yes, no, please. So he dropped off the food, and I was like, spasibo, which is thank you in Russian. And he turned around, he smiled at me, and he just thought I spoke fluent Russian. So he started talking to me, and they're saying something. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying, dude. Like, I'm like, I just pointed at my lung, American. That's all I said, and he, like, got the reference. But, yeah, it was good there. I enjoyed it. The life was – it was just like any other place, you know. It was clean. It was a really nice city, really, really nice stores. It was awesome. Everything was a little bit cheaper there than it was here.
Oh, it's cool.
So if I really wanted to spend some money, I could, but I limited myself.
So in Ufa, would you consider that a town or city? How big was that where you guys were?
It was a huge city. Was, you know, I think it had like 2 million, 3 million
people. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah, it's the fourth biggest city in Russia. So.
Really?
Yeah.
And how was the facility? Was it cool then?
Where we competed, it was awesome. It was like a hockey arena almost. It was really big. It was really nice. We had a super really good warm-up area. It was just within like a hockey rink, and then when you walked out to the arena floor, it was like any other, you know, world championships.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
just from watching the videos online, it did look like the facilities were really nice there. How were the fans there? Was there a lot of fans in the stands, and how did they treat the Americans there?
You know, obviously due to COVID, there wasn't really many people in the stands. Maybe a couple spectators, but mostly just like teammates and coaches of like the other countries.
Gotcha.
But you know, they were nothing but kind to us, U.S. Obviously, if we were wrestling Russia, you know, they kind of hated us. And you just heard in the background everyone is yelling, Russia, Russia. But otherwise, they're nothing but nice. And took some pictures with some other teams. I think the Spain grappling team, because they had a grappling tournament before the World Championships came up, and wanted to take a picture with us. So they were awesome.
Are you getting used to not having full houses? I mean, is that still weird when you wrestle?
I mean, I definitely don't like it, but there's nothing I can really do about
it.
Yeah,
right.
I am used to it. It just kind of is more of a – it's more of a practice vibe almost, because, you know, it's a little bit more quiet, and the only people I can really hear are the referee and, you know, my coaches and the other person's coach. So obviously I couldn't really understand what they were saying over there, but – yeah, it's not too bad. It's definitely not ideal. I would love to have a packed house, but hopefully we're getting back to that.
So aside from the wrestling, was there anything else, anything interesting that stuck out to you about the Russia trip that you want to tell everybody out there? I know Coach Maple, he told me about a few menu items over there that I found pretty interesting.
Yeah, when we got there, we got to the airport at like 1:20. Actually, no, I think it was even later than that. It was like 2:30 a.m. and they greeted us very amazing. Like, they were so nice to us. But they had two girls that were wearing, like, these just crazy dresses. They were all, like, the height of Rocky, wearing heels and stuff. And they had, like, these plates. And one of them was, like, a cup that just looked like milk. And then the other one was, like, some sort of, like, sweet treat. And so, you know, us being the visitors, we had to take it and try it. And the food was pretty good. It was like just some really sweet type of pastry, and it wasn't bad. But then the drink was horse milk. And like, you smelled it, and it was like, it doesn't smell good, but you don't want to be rude. So, you know, you take a taste of it, and it was god awful. It was not good. Like, I appreciate all the hospitality, but it was just not very good. And I went to, like, I got to go to the bathroom, and, you know, just kind of poured it out over there. But it was interesting.
You being from America's Dairyland, I mean, that's something. I mean, God's country, you get the best milk you can have, and then a little horse milk, you know the difference.
That was brutal. But it was just part of their culture. It was fun to experience it. And, you know, at our hotel was like the nicest hotel. in town is what our team leader, Paulie, said. And so they actually had a wedding like the first night in our hotel.
Oh, really?
And so we ate breakfast. We ate all of our meals like in this nice dining hall. But for this one night, we couldn't because they had a wedding. So we had to go like in the back. And Rocky, being the dummy that he is, we walked down, got out of the elevator. We see the wedding's going on. They have a big projector. And everyone's looking at the projector. And we have to walk like to the far side of the room. And we usually go around. Rocky, just walks straight through while everyone's staring at, walks through the projector. And I'm just like, I'm following him. I don't care. So, yeah, it was great. It was different, but it was also at the same time, it was cool to see how other people lived over there.
That's awesome. So you're definitely sticking with the cow's milk over the horse milk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I should have brought some back just to, trick the team back. Yeah. This is the best milk I've ever drank in my life.
Man, I'm sure we can find a horse around here to milk somewhere if you really want to do it.
No.
All right, let's get into some of these matches over here you guys had. So we'll start off with you being the lightest over there. You opened up round one with a fall over Hungary. Anything notable in that match, or you kind of just went out and dominated?
I was definitely a little nervous, just my first time wrestling someone from a different country. But it was the same thing. I believed in myself, believed in my coaches, believed in Tiger Style, so... Went out there and just started dicing them up. I was feeling really good and just got the ball rolling.
When you trained and you were done with training, did you feel good? Like, were you really confident in what you were getting into?
I felt really good mentally, but physically, if I'm being honest, I felt terrible just because of the travel leading up to it, and sleep was god-awful. I don't think every night I woke up at like 2:30 a.m. and couldn't fall back asleep until like 4 a.m. So that was – physically, it was a little bit tougher, but mentally, I knew that, there's no excuse. Like, regardless of how I feel physically, the amount of sleep that I get, like, I'm ready.
So you go out there and you win over Hungary. Then in round two, you win over Azerbaijan. That's by fall. That's an Olympian who is in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And you had to come from behind, right?
Yeah. I didn't know too much about – like I said, I didn't know anyone in my bracket. But come to find out, I kind of, like – all the coaches like, yeah, I had like the hardest side of the bracket. like I didn't know that. And then leading up to that match, I watched a match and realized, like, oh, this dude's pretty good. Like, he's tough to score on. He's got some crazy rubber knees and he's really strong. And in that match, there was a point where I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, it was like middle of the first period. I got taken down twice and I got pushed out. And I'm like, this ain't going my way. Like, I don't really know what to do right now. So. But I remember when I was training over back home with Ben Askren, he was like, sometimes early in the match you might not be able to out-wrestle these guys, but as long as you just make them so tired that they don't even want to stand up anymore, it's going to favor you. So that's just kind of what I focused on. Like, I'm getting out-wrestled right now, and if I keep trying to out-wrestle, I'm probably going to lose. And so I'm just going to put the pace on them. I'm just going to take a lot of fakes, a lot of snaps, a lot of shots. I'm just going to not put myself in high-risk situations, and sure enough, I could feel him start to wear in the probably like a minute into that second period, and I feel like I'm relatively dangerous as a wrestler, and if you make one mistake, I can put you on your back and pin you, and that's kind of what I did.
Yeah, what did you hit in that match?
I think I shot a single, and he went to Shin Whizzer, and I tried throwing my leg in on the other side just to get a takedown, and he kind of relaxed and caught my ankle, and I slid right off, and he turned right into me. And if anyone turns into me, I'm locking up a cradle.
Yeah, right.
And once I locked it up, there was no fight from him. Literally, did not try to.
He knew.
Did not try to break my lock. Did not try to fight off his back. I rolled him through, hopped on top.
And that was it.
Just slapped the man, and I was pumped.
So that was you hit that guy with a near side cradle on that one.
Yes.
Right. So then in the next match in the semis, same scenario, trailing in the second period.
Yeah.
And this time, you hit a crossface cradle, and I got jacked watching this one. I was like, oh, man, he snatched him right up.
Yeah.
That was against Russia.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was an idiot, to be honest, in that match. I gave up 6 points in a cradle. I got cradled, which I should not have done. Maple guy was really mad at me after that. He's like, you idiot, you got to stop doing that to yourself. Because, I did it to myself. Like, I could have easily just given up a takedown, but I decided to turn in. I'm stubborn like that sometimes, but I felt him wear a lot. And then I got a takedown at the beginning of the second period to make it 8-5, And I had like 2.5 minutes to wrestle. I'm like, all right, just keep getting takedowns. And then I gave up a really stupid takedown, just like a drill takedown. Like I let him basically just underhook me and single leg me. I didn't really do much. And then I was like, all right, well, I got to score a lot of points. I can't just get 3 takedowns in 1.5 minutes against a really good wrestler. It's going to be really hard. So, you know, I shot the same shot I shot all match, a left-sided swim high crotch. It was a little extended, but I sucked the leg up, and he went to a quad pod. And I feel like I'm relatively dangerous from there.
For sure.
Just because, you know, I feel like I'm relatively good on top of folk style, and that kind of translates over. And so I just threw the leg in, and the move that I was doing, if you throw the leg in and they try to stay up on a quad pod, they're going to bring their knee right to their face, and then I'm going to lock up a cradle. But if most guys, if they're smart, they'll just bail, and they'll just give it a takedown. But, you know, he was stubborn, didn't want to give a takedown, and locked that cradle up. I got a finger grip lock, then I adjusted, and it was really tight. I had my elbows on perfect positions, and I thought, so usually what I'll do is I'll step one leg up and pull them back. But I thought that we were on the edge, so if I did that, we would have angled towards more out of bounds. And, you know, me being a USA guy in Russia, wrestling a Russian, yeah. I feel like they were going to call that right away. So the only thing I thought of was I need to pull him straight back almost. And the only way for me to do that is I need to get him up in the air. So never done this before, never drilled it. Just step 2 legs up, have decent hip mobility. So I was all the way down, and I'm just like Coach Rorick deadlift, just our strength coach just – pick him straight up and fell backwards, and it was so tight there was no chance he was getting out of that.
Watching that online, like you said, that's not a real typical finish for you in that far side cradle situation. No. But being as it was freestyle, you know, the guy was trying to lay flat, and like you said, it was on the edge of the mat, so you're nervous on going out of bounds. And man, you put your feet in and stood straight up with that guy and picked him up in that cradle all the way to your feet. And I know at least everybody where I was getting jacked up on that, knowing what was going to happen. But I know everybody across America was like, oh, my God, that you don't just do that to somebody. Yeah. That was
crazy. That was probably one of the crazier moments, like, my whole time in my life ever wrestling in a match.
And that video went viral. Oh, I mean, yeah. Everybody saw that one.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was awesome.
Here, we walked back to the warm-up area. And in the warm-up area, they had chairs, and they had there was 4 mats, so they had 1 TV for each mat, and then they had a 5th TV for, like, a bout board to see who's coming up and what mat you're on. So all the athletes and all the coaches that aren't wrestling or aren't in the arena, they're watching on those mats. And so the whole Russian coaches, Russian team are watching, and USA guys are right next to them watching. And so you could imagine.
Yeah.
In the semifinals, World Championships, getting pretty crazy. And I came back, and one of the other coaches from Team USA comes up to me, he's like, yeah, we were going crazy. We were like, we almost started World War III, like, just going back and forth with the Russians, and they were so upset, and it was awesome.
So after that match, you know, kind of like you said, you didn't know at the time, but I think everyone else knew, you had the loaded side of the bracket. After you get through the Azerbaijani and then the Russian, you get to the finals, and you have this guy from Pakistan who...
Kazakhstan.
Obviously, Kazakhstan?
Yeah.
Oh, Coach Bradley led me astray. He told me Pakistan. Yep. I'm gonna let him know. So Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
And you know, he's obviously a really good wrestler. He made it to the finals, the Junior World Championships. But
yeah,
I think everybody kind of knew you'd already made your way through the toughest part of the bracket, and you went right out there and took care of business.
Did you know that by then? Did you know that you had made it through the?
Yeah. At that point, I'm like, all right, I wrestled an Olympian, and then I wrestled like a Russian who's a Russian national champ, like. This other side of watching these matches, like, these guys are good, but they're nowhere near to the level of the guys that I just wrestled.
Sure. And then, well, talk about the finals then. You just went out 11-0.
I mean, you know, I was same mentality. Like, this is the finals of the Junior World Championships. Like, it's not going to be easy. But, you know, obviously I had my same process. You know, Coach Smith, Coach Maple were telling me, you know, like, he's a left leg lead. If he gets on top, he's going to try to go head in between the legs, leg lace. So warming up, I obviously, you know, did the things that I would normally do. Scouting, I worked defense to certain things that my opponent would do. But I went out there, and I started feeling them. I started flowing and got the first takedown and got a leg lace right away. And, you know, I was feeling really good.
Yeah, that guy didn't get on top because you won that one 11-0, right?
Yeah.
That was awesome. So you're world champion, and then you guys all three actually wrestled in the
same day.
2 days, you and Rocky, because they split the weight classes up on, you know, 2 different schedules. But Colton was up next, and Colton goes out and gets a first round tech fall. against the Belarusian. And then in the second round, he loses a looks like a fairly close match to the Georgian. How did that match go?
He was winning that for a decent amount of the time, but there was just a couple of moments where Colton just kind of made like a couple mental errors. Like, not, it wasn't anything physical where the guy was better than him. He just gave up two gut wrenches when he shouldn't have.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And that was the difference.
He got a little lazy, and, you know, two gut wrenches, that's 4 points right there. And against a good guy, it's going to be hard to come back. So
yeah,
that was kind of what made the difference. And, you know, he knew it right away. He's like, man, like, I don't give up those two gut wrenches. I win that match. And then obviously his guy had to win, but the guy that the Georgian had next was the world champ, Iranian.
Mm.
So a tough loss there for Colton. He actually finished up in seventh place overall, which is nothing to, you know, hang your head about. He did a great job. And, man, I think the silver lining of all that was Colton got some amazing training in over the summer, and I could see it in his wrestling, and I know everyone else probably can too, that, you know, he's jumped levels, and he's going to be a different animal this year, wrestling in folk style.
He's gotten so much better. I can feel it when I wrestle him.
And he's just freakishly strong.
Oh, extremely. Extremely.
So then let's move on to Rocky. And Rocky goes out first round, gets a tech fall over Uzbekistan. Was there anything kind of crazy happened in that match?
No, I think, you know, just standard, take him down, leg lace a couple times, take him down with another single leg. You went to business.
That's vintage Rocky. And then has a couple of close matches after that, 5-3 over India. And then the match in the semis, the Russian, you know, we pumped that one up heavily, obviously. Rocky versus the Russian, you know, Rocky Ivan. IV.
That guy's name was Ivan.
Is that right?
Yes.
God, oh, that's perfect. Even better.
Perfect. Ivan, like, Kulab or something like that. But
Rocky wins that one 4-2, and if I remember right, he had to score late to win that one, right?
I think he won 5-1. I think it was a close match relatively, but he was winning the whole time. I'm almost positive because I remember watching that. But, and also, I don't think that he had a close match with the India guy. I think he teched him.
I gotta get some better sources than the UWW brackets online. That's the scores they're giving me.
Yeah. I'm almost positive that he teched him because I was literally.
I'll take your word for it, though. You were there.
Right when I saw him, and it was like 8-0, and then he got 10-0. So.
But I know in the finals. Yeah, it was close with that the Iranian. Really
with the Iranian, yeah.
And the Iranians, just watching them in the Olympics, you know, the week before that, and then watching them here at the Junior World Championships, they are fantastic with the underhook. And then this guy was really unique. This is the first guy I think I've ever seen Rocky wrestle who had kind of the same body type as him. This guy was super tall and lanky.
Yeah.
And a lot of those, you know, Iranian and Russians are, you know, I don't know to stereotype them, but they're always kind of short and stocky, really gunned
really
up,
strong.
And but this guy, he was built just like Rocky, so I was like, man, I don't know if that's going to be a problem for Rocky or not. But man, Rocky Elam with that, you know, tiger style clutch gene that you've got, gets in on a single with 40 seconds left, and just works to finish it, and finishes it with what, like 10 seconds.
10. Yep.
And pretty much just rides the clock out on top. Mm-hmm. I mean. What was that like, you know, watching it? Were you in the warm-up area watching that? Were you in the stands watching that?
I didn't get to watch that at all. That was probably, like, the worst hour ever, like, of my life after I wrestled because, you know, all the champs have to get drug tested, right?
Okay.
And so the only drug tests I've ever done are just, like, ones in high school or some that are random, you know, you just pee in a cup and then it's whatever. Like, it doesn't matter how much it is. You don't have to really fill out any paperwork. But this is a whole different level. Like, you get in this room, and you can't leave. And you had an hour to report, and I should have stayed, but I didn't know.
Sure.
So I went in there. You know, I had to fill out all this paperwork, and they don't really speak English, so it's kind of hard to understand, and I did. And then you have to pee a certain amount, and I didn't the first time. And you can't leave the room. So I had to wait, and I drank, like, 6 pounds of water in, like, 20 minutes. I didn't get to watch any of the matches. I missed the Team USA picture because I couldn't leave the room.
I was wondering why you weren't in the picture.
Oh, wow.
I stuck in the drug test room.
That makes sense.
And then eventually, I had to wait, and then eventually I had to go pee again. And I came out, made it for the team meeting, which is good, but, you know, that sucked. I didn't get to watch our bronze medal match heavyweight or Rocky's final match. But our trainer that came with us, who was sitting in the room with me, he could leave. He told me, he's like, Rocky won. Like, you got to take down with short time left. I was like, heck yeah. And then when I went back and watched it, Yeah, that guy did give him some fits. Like, he was just lanky, hard to get to, kind of like Rocky. Kept his range, but, you know, Rocky's an animal. So he's going to come back.
Gotcha. That's funny you say that about the drug testing. I remember Jaden Cox, his first national championship, everyone was waiting for him to get back, and he was on his drug test forever because that guy is a world champion, you know, wrestler, and he's a world champion sweater as well, and he probably lost 15 pounds in that match, and he was so dehydrated he couldn't pee. It took him, I want to say, like a couple hours to pee before he could come back and see his family. It's brutal.
Like, I hate that process. Like, I've never done that before, but I will be prepared from now. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, before the finals match, like, I'm drinking a lot of water.
Absolutely.
I don't care if I gotta go pee during the match. Like, I can handle that.
How does this springboard you toward your college season coming up?
I just think that it gives me so much more experience and confidence. You know, all summer, you know, I was back home for a lot of it, but all I did was work wrestling camps, teach wrestling, and all I did was lift and train. And then, you know, maybe have some time at night to go hang out with friends. But that's all I did all summer. So I know probably a bunch of, I doubt that anyone was doing the amount of, the volume of, like, wrestling involvement that I was doing over the summer. I guarantee you no one around who I'm going to be wrestling this year did that. Like, obviously, you know, teaching wrestling is an animal of its own. Like, that's sure. just as, I would say, just as tiring and, like, mentally taxing as wrestling. But it got me so much better. You know, it helped me just understand the sport and helped me understand positions. I just think that my IQ of wrestling has gone up so much this summer. And, you know, obviously just training, like, I've been in shape all summer, so I feel great.
Sometimes when you go back and teach, you're going back to the basics, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, it just kind of clicks something in your head, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I was teaching six-year-olds how to do a wrist tie to a normal drag go-behind, and it's like, well, I do a drag go-behind, so, you know, me teaching it, it's like, all right, reinforcing, you know, grab wrist, hand up in the armpit, you know, catch the far hip. Like, if he circles out, drop down to a leg, pick it up, just all that stuff. So I it was super beneficial for me.
Yeah. That's cool.
It was a lot of hard work, though. It was brutal. You know, traveling across the country, traveling across, you know, I did a bunch of camps in Wisconsin, traveling all around Wisconsin. You know, I really don't want to do that again this next summer. Like, like, that was brutal. Like, just tired after that.
Well, I know the coaches, you got a little bit of time off. Not a whole lot, but they've got you training, you know, a little bit different. Not too much different than the other guys right now, just because you competed basically all summer. But How is training going for you right now and lifting and getting into the preseason workouts here?
Yeah, I mean, the only time I got off was the first week of school, really, because that's when we got back and the whole team got that first week off, and then I was back the next week. So, you know, I was sore and tired, obviously, but I didn't care. You know, I just want to keep training, and I got stuff to get better at. And you know, when I wrestled over there, I had to wrestle like 2.5 pounds lighter than what I would normally wrestle in college. So, you know, big emphasis for me right now is just putting on some size, putting on some strength, you know, so I can get back and wrestle these 165 pounders that are probably been pretty big all summer. And not that that really matters, but I'm trying to improve on every area, and strength is definitely one of those things. So, preseason workouts, they've been good. I don't like conditioning workouts. Those are not fun, but, you know, you have to do them. I will say the first stadium I ever did was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably one of the worst workouts I've ever done, but I also was sick, so made it hard to breathe. But that was brutal. Hopefully we don't do too many of those this year.
Yeah, no question.
My calves are still sore.
I know he's got a Zoom to go to, so we're going to let you go.
Absolutely. Any concluding thoughts you want to give the fans about Russia before you hop out of here?
Nope. Just make sure you come to all these duels this year. We're in the Big 12. We're going to make it fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right on. It'll
be a lot of pins. Lot of action.
Well, Keegan, appreciate you stopping by today and giving us some of your time and letting the fans know about your Russian trips. And everybody can catch you on the mat again here in about a month or so at the Black and Gold.
Mm-hmm. So awesome. Thank you guys for having me.
You bet. Thanks, Keegan.
Got to go to class. Student athlete.
Student athlete. That's what we like.
Love it. All right. So a lot to catch up on there at the Junior World Championships, Bo. But then we had a group go and compete at the Senior World Team Trials here this past weekend, and they didn't do too shabby either.
No, and there's a there's a lot of names people will recognize, whether you're talking about Dom Bradley, whether you're talking about Jared Jacques, where you're talking about Brock Mahler, and of course, Jaden Cox, who comes out of there again as a champion.
Absolutely. And when you look at this World Team Trials, you know, it's the 2021 World Championships, World Team Trials, and this one's a little bit different because the guys who just medaled in the Tokyo Olympics, they got the option of, if they wanted to compete at the World Championships, the spot is theirs. And everyone but Gable Steveson took that spot. So Thomas Gilman at 57 kilos, Kyle Dake at 74 kilos, David Taylor at 86 kilos, and Kyle Snyder at 97 kilos all claimed those spots. And so at the other six weight classes, you really had guys, you know, flooding to those weight classes.
Scrapping
that normally
to get
would
there,
be,
yeah.
You know, spread out amongst all 10 weight classes. Those guys were really crowding into six weight classes to try to make the team. And so it made this World Championships really interesting because, man, it really raised the bar.
Sure.
Every guy in the bracket is, I mean, every guy in the bracket at World Team Trials is always tough, but it was really, really tough this year. Especially it was the case that, you know, Brock and Jared's weight at 70 kilos. I mean, Brock's a U23 national champion, a U23 runner-up, you know, last April and November. Jarrett took fifth place, I believe, at the U23s and then went out and won the last chance qualifier to be in the World Team Trials. And they were the 9 and 10 seeds.
And they had to wrestle each other, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. But you're talking about two studs right there, the 9 and 10 seeds.
Yeah.
Brock comes out there. He gets a win in the opening round pigtail over Elroy Perkin. And then he has the number one seed, James Green, who ended up winning the bracket.
Being the champ, yeah.
And James Green is a tough dude. You talk about a couple-time world silver medalist. This is like his, I think, his sixth world team. I mean, that's a tough dude to run into. And then Jarrett, he opens up his first match with Brayton Lee from Minnesota,
yep.
Who
we all
lost
remember.
To in the bubble round,
yep.
At the NCAA tournament. And then I believe we ran into him again at the U23 championships in the spring. But that dude is tough, and you know, unfortunately, he got the better of us in that match. And then, like you said, those two fall back to the consolations, and just the way the bracket played out, they got to wrestle each other. And Jarrett came out on top on that one. And then Jarrett's next match, you've got Hodge Trophy winner, three-time NCAA champion Zane Rutherford,
yeah.
Who lost a barn burner on the front side, and he got the better of this there. But that bracket was
loaded.
Probably, I mean, all the brackets were loaded, but that was probably the toughest bracket in the tournament.
Yeah, no question about it. And really, when you look at the guys they lost to, there's no shame in that.
Oh, no.
And it just makes you better.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is it's just great that they got to go out and, you know, that's another competition where you're wrestling the highest caliber of guys, and it's something where you can look at and, okay, here's a benchmark of where I'm at, and when I need to go back home, I need to get better at, you know, this, this, and this.
Yep.
I think that's where those guys are, and that's definitely how they took it. You know, those guys have great attitudes, and they're definitely back here. They're working to get better. Then we had Dom Bradley, who took fourth place, lost to the same guy twice,
yeah.
Aiden Zillmer, who traditionally is a 92 or a 97 kilo guy, just decided to bump up to heavyweight, and he looked, you know, pretty sizable at the weight considering he bumped up, and man, he stole two matches from us. I mean, both those matches we lost, he got a takedown on Dom in the last 30 seconds to beat us. So those were, you know, those were a bummer, definitely. But Dom picked up a couple wins over Christian Lance and Jordan Wood, who is, I believe, a junior world silver medalist. So that was a good win. Dom took fourth place there. And then, like you said, Jaden Cox closing it out. And another world team for him. Another chance. A chance to be a three-time world champion. So that's pretty rare in and of itself.
And if I'm not mistaken, he gave up no points.
He gave up no points. They put up a stat, a crazy stat. In an international freestyle competition, Jaden has like a 50% like shutout rate, which
wow.
Is like absurd.
Yeah.
So he looked like, you know, vintage Jaden Cox. He wrestled in a tournament, you know, a while back in Puerto Rico, and he looked like he might have been banged up. I don't know what the case was, but he didn't look his best there. But at the trials, I mean, last weekend, Jaden looked phenomenal. It's the best Jaden I've ever seen, I think. So you ask me, I would definitely think he's the favorite to pick up the world championship here in about a month in Oslo, Norway.
Yeah, right. He won 11 zip, 8 zip, 5 zip, and 4 nothing.
And those dudes are all super tough. You're talking about Drew Foster, national champ from Northern Iowa, Miles Martin, national champ from Ohio State, and then Colin Moore, who is, I believe, a four-time All-American from Ohio State and just got second place in the Olympic trials. I mean, he's a stud, too, and Jaden, it was nothing for him.
Yeah, Jaden just goes through him.
He looked fantastic.
Yeah, good luck to him in Norway, no doubt.
And then we've got a couple of new news and notes since our last podcast.
Yeah.
As we opened up with, it's been a while since our last podcast. New athletic director, Desiree Reed Francois. And I got to say, as a native Oklahoman, I wasn't sure on how to pronounce Francois. You know, the 580 area code in me said, wanted to say Francois, but
I gotcha.
Right. Not right. Francois, but she is awesome.
I was going to say, she's probably been around the program already.
I don't think she's got to come in directly and speak to the team yet. She may have. I might have missed it her first week. I was out with COVID, but she is awesome. And the two times I've got to hear her speak, she's a go-getter. I mean, her energy, everything about her says that she's a winner. And, man, just the things that she's saying, it gets you fired up.
Good.
As a staff member, she's all about the student-athlete experience. We are pumped to have her lead us in the right direction, I think. And I think that's the overall outlook from the entire athletic department, I would say.
Yeah, we're also pumped to have new sports info director for wrestling, Ben Ramirez, on board.
Yeah, you guys might have noticed, you know, we were a little short-staffed in, you know, we had Sean Davis and Andrew Melrow, who were both having to cover multiple sports. They have since moved on, took other jobs, and we want to congratulate them and wish them all the best. But there for a while, we had a little lapse. We didn't have, you know, a whole lot of content going out. And Ben has come in. He's a student. He's still a student right now, but he's serving as our sports info director. But he has done an amazing job, taking initiative and pumping out content and just, you know, he's never really worked with wrestling, I don't think, but man, he hasn't like slowed down a bit and picking up, you know, okay, the guys are competing where right now? Freestyle, they're over in Russia. And I mean, he was posting in the middle of the night when those guys are wrestling, you know, a 13-hour time zone difference. And he's really just done an incredible job. And, you know, we're pumped to have him for this year.
No doubt about it. And you'll see a lot of stuff online, Facebook, Twitter. I think he did something the other day about Coach Smith's winning percentage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was cool.
If you missed it, he put out a great piece the other day on Keegan, who we just had in here, and Coach Maple's bet that they had regarding the world championships. And if Keegan won, Coach Maple had to come out of retirement. So you guys are going to want to check that out. That's a great story that Ben put out. You can find that if you dig down. It'd be probably 2 weeks ago on our Facebook page. You can find that. That's a great, great read. So next week, we're going to start to preview our 21-22 season schedule. And I've got to tell you, just from talking to the coaches, man, it's a doozy. I mean, that's a great thing. As a fan, it's a great thing. As a staff member, but and as a student athlete, but our schedule is tough.
Well, you're going back into the Big 12, which we all knew just by doing that, the schedule would get way tougher. But the way Coach Smith likes the schedule anyway, he says we'll take on all comers and we want to go against the best, because then when you get to nationals, A, you may have already wrestled the guy, or B, you know that you're ready to wrestle the best, and that's how you win championships and get on the podium.
Absolutely, and I believe we're wrestling 11 out of the 12 Big 12 teams. The only one we're missing is West Virginia, but man, we are wrestling everybody, and just by looking at it, I mean, I've been talking to coaches about, okay, well, so-and-so for Mizzou, you know, he's gonna have this guy first, what's he ranked? Oh, you know, 15th, and this guy next, oh, what's he ranked? Oh, he's ranked 17th. Every guy is going to have, you know, going into the NCAA championships, 10 to 12 ranked matchups. I mean, it's insane. And I think that's the biggest difference when you look at, you know, the MAC conference versus the Big 12 conference is, you know, your MAC, you always had your perennial, you know, powerhouses, you know, Central Michigan, you know, Ohio, all them. And they would have, you know, 3 to 4 ranked guys, and then they would have, you know, about half their team wasn't ranked. That's not the case with these Big 12 opponents. I mean, you're looking at even the lower tier teams have sometimes 6, 7 ranked opponents.
Yep.
And so, I mean, there's not a date on our schedule where you can look and say, okay, this is a, you know, a duel we can kind of, you know.
An off night.
Yeah, an off night. You can kind of, you know, mentally relax. There's not one of those on our schedule.
Yeah.
Every team, you got to show up 100% and be ready to go. And I think our guys will have that attitude. I think they carry that attitude with them a lot, you know, on every match. But next week, we're going to start previewing that, you know, weight by weight class in
sure.
the Big 12. And we're going to take a look at that.
You know, something we should have mentioned probably at the beginning of this, if you have a comment or if you have a topic you want us to discuss on the podcast or maybe somebody to talk to, leave it in the comments under the podcast on Facebook so we can go back and say, hey, that's a good topic. Let's talk about that. But that's an easy way to get a hold of us and get our attention.
Absolutely. We want to know what you guys think about it. And if you guys have any questions or if you got something that you want me and Bo and maybe a special guest to talk about, certainly do so. Comment on Facebook and we can kind of go from there.
You want to talk about season tickets?
Absolutely. Season tickets are on sale. Like we said, every duel this year is a phenomenal duel. They're all action-packed with ranked matchups. You're going to want to be sure to get your season tickets. Sold out of Mad Side tickets.
That's awesome.
Great problem to have.
Yep.
Great problem to have. The house is going to be packed here in the Hearns. These duels are going to be rocking. So make sure you get your season tickets today. And we will catch you guys next week on the podcast. So until then, this is Tiger Style. Stay ready.
This has been Inside Mizzou Athletics, brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. From Learfield.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.